Alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed. All right? We are dealing with some things in by way of review, refresher, if you whatever you want to call it, an excursion into Daniel. And we were in chapter 4 here. And this whole chapter is devoted to his witness to his entire kingdom with regard to the God of Daniel. So let's take the usual time to be sure that we are of the right frame of mind. That's the only way you can be that is in fellowship. Whatever concerns you have and pressures of life, these God will work together for your good, and we just move on spiritually. That's what we're supposed to do, regardless of circumstances that change in our lives. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you that we have the resources and the freedom to assemble and hear your word and the things that help us to emulate those who live by faith, such as Daniel. Be with us in our study, in Christ's name. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar, God put him through a series of events related to Daniel. Daniel was first brought to his attention. See, Daniel's just another young person in the court of this great king. He's just an exile from a country, as there were from other countries, that Nebuchadnezzar had conquered. And it was a procedure to take some of the best-looking, most promising, well-bred people and bring them in and train them to serve in various capacities in the city of Babylon. And Daniel and his three friends were brought from the Jewish exile, but they had something going for them. They are a rarity. They were positive, and they were going to serve God. Their lives had been so dramatically changed, more than you can imagine, that probably any of us have gone through. We haven't been taken captive, drugged to a foreign land under those conditions, and keep your mental attitude straight. God's wrath fell on the Jewish nation. They were exiled into Babylon. Now, Daniel and company came earlier than the big mass of exiles that came at the end. This was a part of the fourth cycle over Israel. Almost like a hostage situation. This was commonplace among conquerors. So in this chapter, Nebuchadnezzar has been brought to the point where he has turned around spiritually. He's this powerful, arrogant, but very effective ruler. So what happened was he had a dream. Daniel interpreted it for him, or he gave him the dream and the interpretation. So immediately Daniel is brought front and center. And in it he informed him that you are the head of gold in the image of the sequencing of the kingdoms of antiquity, starting with Babylon. As we shall see, and as we have noted before, there is a series of kingdoms of antiquity that are connected somewhat geographically to the Middle East. And these kingdoms, in order of their rise and fall, begin with Egypt, move to Assyria, move to Babylonia, move to Medo-Persia, then Greece, now we get European, and then the Roman Empire. That's the ones, and in the order of their rise and fall. Nebuchadnezzar, in the image, it starts with the head of gold and works its way to the second advent. Daniel interpreted this dream for him. And he did something probably Nebuchadnezzar didn't do with anybody. He fell down before Daniel in homage. Remember, he's not saved, he's not enlightened, but he is, because this dream troubled him greatly. And he wanted an answer, and he was willing to kill off all kinds of people if they didn't give him an answer. The dream. He was smart enough not to put the dream out there and then let them gin up something. And he threatened all of them with execution. As radical as that sounds. That's where Daniel was. And Daniel and his four friends got together, and that's one of the things you do in crises. You get with somebody, or even if it's just yourself, and you start praying. Because you don't know what's going to pop up in front of you as a believer that you're going to have to deal with. Everything isn't always like we like it. But we have to deal, we are bound to deal with the situation. Daniel's life was not in the sense of what he did on a daily basis, was not as a result of a personal choice. That his choice, in the sense he was a glorified slave. But he made a decision, and his friends, that they, in all of this, would not deny God and join with the rest of everyone else that's trying to please people and get ahead. And their first test, as we saw, was a food test. They realized immediately that they're going to be eating from, when you say the king's table, it's a lot of food that is for all these people that serve in that capacity. They made a decision. They were going to stay kosher. And they asked the guy that was the overseer of them if they could be tested for a period of time. Because they were trying to feed these individuals the kind of food that'd make them look real healthy. Not just junk food and all the rest of it. And as we saw, they, after this period of going straight vegetarian, looked better than the rest of them because God was blessing them. They didn't throw the ritual code overboard, even in captivity, when it had been so easy to do so, to get along with everybody. That's the strength of doctrine in their soul. We're not compromising for anybody or anything. We'll try to get along. We will do what we can do. But this one, they drew the line. And they passed that. They're incorporated into this schooling, this training, if you will. It's interesting, isn't it? That Daniel didn't object to that. He didn't object to, they changed our names. And gave us names of pagan deities and so forth. They didn't draw the line there. What's just a name? Just a title. That doesn't affect me spiritually. So as a result of giving Nebuchadnezzar the dream and its interpretation, Daniel is very humble. He says, it isn't because I am so smart God, enlighten me on this. My God. See, so Nebuchadnezzar is being introduced to what he would say is a foreign deity. But he's not a foreign deity. He is the one and only. Nebuchadnezzar is all wrapped up in his culture and his pagan upbringing, like so many people through history. But there is a difference in this man. No one could have detected it in the beginning. And these events broke him down. Not all at once. So Daniel was promoted in Babylon. He got a bunch of gifts, and he was exalted over the whole province of Babylon, and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. Boom! Because Nebuchadnezzar put him there. That probably rankled a few people, but it didn't matter. You didn't argue with Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel, when he got promoted, it's a lesson, he didn't forget his friends. He told Nebuchadnezzar to promote them. He requested it. He made a request. Some people, when they prosper, they forget their friends. They drop them. That's common in the world. You don't do that. You treat everybody like you would want to be treated, and in consistency. So Nebuchadnezzar, he goes off on this ego trip and builds a big gold image. I guess it's supposed to represent him. And requires everyone to bow down, and that's where we went through that. And Daniel was not... The reason Daniel wasn't pegged as violating this is because the tattlers, the ones who came and had to tattle, and tell Nebuchadnezzar that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down like you ordered everybody on pain of death. Daniel was excluded because they knew that Nebuchadnezzar liked him a whole lot. So that's the games people play. But then that became their test, and they were placed in this furnace of fire, killing the men. The valiant men who threw all three of them in there one at a time. And as we know, they came out unscathed. Not even the smell of smoke was on their clothing. The only thing that burned was the ropes that they had bound them in. And they had fellowship in a fiery furnace, heated up, an industrial furnace, seven times hotter than normal. And they had fellowship with the Lord, who appeared and walked with them in the middle of this furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar, I witnessed it. Test passed. One more time, Nebuchadnezzar. What God are you serving? You never saw anything like this. You go along quietly in life and all this, and you're trying to defend your faith and stand for your faith. It will be validated and vindicated. And it's about time in the world when all this is going to be brought out in the open in front of everybody. And God is going to display His power, starting with at least the rapture and the events of the tribulation, and nobody can escape it, and it's going to be in everybody's face. And all these people run around today and they're avoiding anything spiritual of any substance. Their attention's going to be gotten. It will not be business as usual. It's like our study of Moses and Aaron coming to Egypt to deliver Israel in bondage to a powerful monarch, an arrogant, powerful monarch. And as that monarch said, when they came to him, you can just see the scene. Moses made a simple request. Let, Yahweh says, not me, Yahweh says, let my people go. Liberate them. Let them walk out of here. Pharaoh, I don't know who Yahweh is. Yahweh, by the way, was a new name for God, relatively at this time. That's the name he gave Moses at the burning bush. When Moses said, "Who shall I tell the Israelites sent me?" And that's where he introduced the name L-O-R-D, caps, Yahweh. It's based on the to be verb, emphasizing the eternality of his person. Pharaoh said, "I don't know Yahweh." Another pagan worshiping the gods of Egypt. "I don't know Yahweh, and no, I won't let your people go." So a series of 10 plagues. And the 10th one broke his will, and he let them go. Because it took the lives of every firstborn male in Egypt and every firstborn of the domestic livestock, which their deal was cattle. They fell over dead. They didn't get up in the morning. And that included Pharaoh's son, heir to the throne. I don't care if it was a baby. I don't care if it was an old man. If you were firstborn, you're dead. This was told ahead of them. And they had 9 plagues. And each one came just exactly as Moses and Aaron depicted it. So Pharaoh, an absolute monarch, let them go. Then he was stupid enough to follow them with his military. And we know what the end of that was. But this monarch has a different end, a positive end, a good end. God will do for any human being whatever it takes if positive volition will surface. He'll do whatever it takes. Some of us, no big deal. We come to believe in Christ and everything. I mean, we have problems in life like everybody. But for some people, they have to be drugged through it. And if God knows that's what it takes, he'll do it. The rest of them, they can suffer, go through whatever. Their positive volition isn't going to surface. So, as a result of the deliverance, he's coming along. He's beginning to speak positive of the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we saw. He violated my command. He overruled what I did. And therefore he made a decree that if anyone said anything bad about the God and the worship of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, see, they're going to wipe them out. Well, this man will soften and not be like this person he was as a result of what happened to him and that he reports to hit all the people. People, leaders don't generally like to say, you know, "I messed up and here's this and this and this." He tells everybody that he had another dream. And this dream revolved around a tree. And the tree I gave you last night. And it switches in verse 15 to 16, from a tree to an individual. The tree represents Nebuchadnezzar, who was the epitome of that empire. In these empires, there's always seems to be a prominent individual. In the Medo-Persians, it was Cyrus the Great. There's always a founder, somebody it is a lot more dramatic than the others. But he talks about the tree being cut down and 7 periods of time passing over it, and that this would happen. Then he gives Daniel an opportunity to interpret the dream, logically. And Daniel heard, in this case, he didn't have to hide the dream content. He just didn't know what it meant, but to him, it was a portent of something that isn't good. This tree that is such a blessing to animals and people alike is suddenly cut down, but not completely destroyed because its root system and its trunk is kept protected. And Daniel had to interpret this. Now we see here that Daniel is human. He didn't want to deliver. He said, I prefer that this dream would apply to your enemies and not you, sir. But I'm bound by God to tell you what it means. Sometimes things aren't pleasant that we have to hear, but they're truth. That's what we're at Maranatha have been all about all these years. Don't get your eyes off of that and get your eyes on people. Or let anybody, even people who left or are leaving, upset you spiritually. Keep your armor on. Stay where you need to be. This is the final test of your faith and my faith as we march into this next year. And I have here in my notes information that indicates this is it. The proverbial party is over for the human race. Or about over. So, Daniel was upset. He was appalled. Because in this, Daniel figured out, and God made it clear to him, that the tree which you saw, whose height reached to the sky and was visible to all the earth in verse 20, and did all this, was beneficial. It is you, O king, for you've grown great and grown strong, and your majesty has become great and reached to the sky, and your dominion to the end of the earth. In that the king saw an angelic watcher, a holy one, and the chopped down the tree. And he gave him the interpretation. Nebuchadnezzar reports the exact words of Daniel here. So I almost like he's inspired now. The command to leave the stump with the roots, your kingdom will be assured to you after you recognize that it is heaven that rules, not you. You're an instrument. But you haven't, that hasn't sunk. Before this, this hadn't sunk in for Nebuchadnezzar. He's got all this, so he tells what led to it. And what led to it, you have the dream, you have the interpretation, and a full year, he gets to think about this. He didn't tell him when it was going to happen. He told him how long it was going to, the duration of it. All this happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel even exhorts him out. I maybe left that out. Therefore, O king, may my advice be pleasing to you. Break away now from your sins by doing righteousness, and from your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Mercy wasn't his strong suit. In case there may be a prolonging of your prosperity. Because Nebuchadnezzar had his sins. He killed people right and left, and all whatever else, and of course idolatry and all the other stuff that went with it. You need to break from all that. Turn away from it. He leaves him to think about this. And so Nebuchadnezzar says in his tract, which he sent and had distributed all over his kingdom to all of his subjects. All this happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He refers to himself in verse 20 in the third person, the king. 12 months later, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. The king reflected and said, "Is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty?" Now, if that isn't taking credit, I don't know what is. I did this. While the word was still in the king's mouth, this extreme pride and this personal expression of, look what I have done. He doesn't have an audience. He's just talking. He's out there strolling, solitary walk on the walls of Babylon. A voice came from heaven saying, now this is a direct communique, King Nebuchadnezzar, To you it is declared, sovereignty has been removed from you. In other words, you are going to be isolated from all this. And you, Nebuchadnezzar, will be driven away from mankind. And your dwelling place will be with the beasts of the field, like cattle. You'll be given grass to eat like cattle, and 7 periods of time will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever He wishes. Until you can come fully to acknowledge that of your own free will. Then that's where you're going to be. Immediately, the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled, and he was driven away from mankind and began eating grass like cattle. That is a mental disorder of extreme. These kind of things have been known to happen to people. It's like they were struck with something. And this mental disorder caused him to identify with cattle. He's a bovine. He identifies with these. Of course, this happened to him in front of all these people, too. And the reason he was put away from mankind is that's what they did with people they considered to be insane. They considered the fact that if they are, they're under a curse and we need to put them out away from everybody. And began eating grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair had grown like eagle's feathers. It messed up his endocrine system. It was all screwed up. And his nails like bird's claws. Long nails. Can you imagine what a sight he must have been? With this unusual coarse hair and nails growing like this. But at the end of that period, now he resumes to the first person. It's like he's talking about another person here. That's the way I was, people, subjects. That's the person I was. I was this arrogant person who took credit for all of this, and I was so wrong, it isn't even funny. There's someone that was ultimately responsible for my success in life. That's why as believers we should always give the Lord credit, give God credit for any success or anything we have. Hope you can do it every day. Something works out, you don't take credit like, oh, look what I did. No, this is what God did for me. Whatever talents, abilities the individual has, notwithstanding, God did this for me. But at the end of the period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven. And my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. This is a major break from his whole history of idolatry and false religion and serving these non-existent deities. In his temple and all that stuff. And honored him who lives forever. Now he can say this as his own personal doctrine. It isn't Daniel talking to him. It is now his reality. His reality is occupation with God and his plan. And the one who establishes nations and kingdoms and the course of human history. And that would even include the history of our church. He knew it the end from the beginning. Everything that would happen to us, everything we would go through. Who would stay, who wouldn't. Who's going to see it through to the end, and who falls by the wayside. You never know about that. There are a lot of factors involved, and people get caught up in the wrong things. It usually, a lot of times, well, it involves a number of things. Sometimes it just involves people, and they want that relationship, and no matter what, because it's my son or daughter. If they walk, they walk. You didn't come here because of them. Why are you leaving because of them? You put God first and His Word first. And stand up to those that are trying to trip you up, and if that's happening, I don't know what it is, but if it was happening, or trying to drive a wedge between you and your pastor teacher because he's the mouthpiece for the information, and if you get a problem with him, then you probably aren't going to do very good spiritually until you, if you break from it. They can nitpick me all they want to. I have to apply under it too. Just get up there, Jack, and keep doing what you're doing. Regardless of who's on board and who isn't on board. Don't let them intimidate you. They've tried. They have tried forcefully over the years. And I didn't stand for it. I got myself in fellowship. I stayed, and I stayed in it. God put me here. This is it. He's the one that can remove me. He's the one that put me here. Tell them that. God put me here. Not me, you. God put me here, brought me to the truth, you too. And if he has any significant shortcomings, God will deal with him and protect my positive volition. But I'm not going down that road with you. This is my message to you at the end of this year. I'm not listening to any of this. So don't bother me with it. Anyway. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. But he does according to his will in the army of heaven. That's the angelic realm. In that way, he's like Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar did his will. Of course, it's a lot of it's not good, the way he handles things. But he did his will, his sovereign will over people. And he could be brutal. Daniel gave him some advice. You need to take a fresh look at what you're doing out here. And some of these people that are suffering, impoverished, you need to try to help them. Believers, we know that is a biblical doctrine. And in our own midst, that's what we try to do. We try to help people who are under severe tests like health or some financial or what. We have consistently helped people. We are not without compassion. Our works speak for what we do. We visit the sick. We help people. We encourage people. We have a whole history of it. And some of you are doing it with regard to individuals in the royal family here. And it's important. He does his will in the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. And no one can ward off his hand. No one can stymie what God's about to do. And if anybody learned that, it was Nebuchadnezzar. He overruled your fiery furnace deal. And now he's got you out here with the animals and this messed up physical system that you have. He did that. He brought you down while words were in your mouth, while you were expressing your own arrogance about how great you are. No one can ward off his hand or say to him, effectively, what have you done? Call God to task. Nobody. And then he goes on. He's in that third person. At that time, my reason returned to me. Just that quick. Whatever it was lifted from him. And my majesty and splendor were restored to me. I don't know how many kings were put in exile, whatever seven periods of time are, and they made a comeback. But it isn't because they were so good, it's because God did it. He restored his health, his mental health, and got rid of this condition. He restored my majesty and splendor were restored to me. For the glory of my kingdom and my counselors and my nobles began seeking me out. How's that happen? There was this power vacuum. And no doubt individuals were trying to fill the vacuum. So it's kind of like the kingdom was put on hold. But they didn't have a direct leader. So things were awkward. They managed, but it wasn't the same. I was reestablished in my sovereignty. And surpassing greatness was added to me. I was even better than before. Because I turned, he doesn't say it that way, but that's the point. I turned to the God of a captive in my kingdom. I turned to his God. And everything worked out. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of Heaven. Not some deity, not Bel, not Marduk. I honor the King of Heaven. And of course, the King of Heaven is God. The King of Heaven, the King of Kings, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Honor Him. If you've done so this year, do it in the coming year, regardless of the circumstances and situations that come to pass in history. God will work it all together for our good. Stay the course. Don't let anybody take your crown. Don't fall for any temptation that would drag you away from Bible doctrine. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. Nobody does. You may got some real bad news today, or let's just say. Don't let it affect you spiritually. Calmly, but directly, stand up to anyone who is trying to undermine your faith and your tenacity with regard to Bible doctrine. Because as I have said, out there, they're not teaching this stuff. They're teaching bits and pieces of truth, but they are not teaching the counsel of God and emphasizing these things. Period. They have a young person's class. Great. Well, here's your young person's class. Daniel and his four friends. We had a young person's class, Joseph in Egypt. One in a million, but it's bigger than that, would have absolutely collapsed under that test and denied God. And walked away and made the best out of the situation cosmically that they could. Instead of putting their wholehearted trust in God, come what may. Testing comes to our faith. But it's all perfectly designed like a custom suit. It fits. And it works for each believer. Get your STA. We get our STAs out of it. You don't know what tomorrow may bring, but I'll tell you what, God will work it for good. Any one of us can say, yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. We have witnesses of it all over the place. But the Lord's in control, and keep yourself positive. That's the test. For all His works are true and His ways just. He's fair. God is fair. He doesn't play favorites. Rulers and people in high position, they play favorites. And people in all low positions, always playing favorites. He's just. He's fair. It's the same plan for all of us. And He ends it with this. He is able to humble those who walk in pride. Public exhibit number one. Me. Here's the proof. There wasn't anybody as much pride as I did. Hardly. and He can humble them. He can knock them down. Avoid pride. It is the original sin of Satan. Pride of possessions, pride of appearance, pride of accomplishments, and all the other things people have pride in. This is a mental attitude sin. Of course, he expressed it verbally too, and got slapped down. But it worked for good for Nebuchadnezzar because it brought out his positive volition. Be fun to meet the fellow in the afterlife. Who'd you have lunch with today? Nebuchadnezzar. He can meet with Daniel and his friends. I don't know how many people were affected by this tract. I don't know how many people looked at it. Here is a man that's opening up and being honest as he can be. How bad he was out of it as a person. How divorced from real reality he really was. In all of his success. And how God brought him to a sound mind. And he carried that with him the rest of his life. He still ruled Babylon. And he isn't going to go out here and kill everybody that doesn't think like he does. But he witnesses to his entire kingdom. And he uses himself as the example of bad behavior. Real bad. There is a God who rules in heaven. And he does what he pleases. So let's please him. Rather than man. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.